Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm really excited. We've got an outstanding guest on the line talking with us today, and you're going to love it. Dr. Jack Singer is the guest, and he's written the book, and it's actually a great book, and I'm looking forward to reading it because I'm holding it in my hand. He sent it to me, The Financial Advisor's Ultimate Stress Mastery Guide, 77 Proven Prescriptions to Build Your Resilience. And a lot of this has application for everybody. We're going to be talking about managing stress. And a recent Financial Advisor magazine publication, Workplace Wellness Supercharges Corporate Bottom Lines. And we're going to be hitting a lot of subjects about corporate wellness. So this program is going to touch on several subjects. I think you're going to like it, although circles around and relates to health, wealth, well-being, stress management, or stress reduction and elimination. So we have to manage it. And I'm very pleased to have Dr. Singer on the line with us. He holds a PhD in industrial organizational psychology, and on top of that, a postdoctorate in clinical sports psychology, both a licensed psychologist and professional speaker. For 33 years, he's consulted with and spoken to major organizations, kind of a who's list here, NASA, Citibank, Mattel, Motorola, Transamerica, many Fortune 1000 companies, and from Miami to Malaysia, all over the world, taught at six universities, including U.S. Air Force Academy. I could spend the next 30 minutes with a more complete introduction, but I'm pleased to add Real Money with David Holland to the list of media appearances he's had, Fox Sports, ESPN, CNN, MSNBC, and a lot of other radio talk show programs throughout the U.S. and Canada. With all that, welcome, Dr. Jack. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. Thanks for the wonderful introduction, and it's a real pleasure to be speaking with you and your audience, David.
Well, thank you, sir. And if you ever want to take me on the road just to do your introductions, I'm game.
Okay.
Listen, I want to dive right in because we only have a limited amount of time, and I want to make the most of your expertise and how you can help us with this area. I know that there has been a lot of research on, you know, this whole concept of happy people and making the most of our lives, and also from an employment standpoint, you know, making the most of that employee-employer relationship. And there's been a lot done in recent years focusing on wellness. Corporate wellness is kind of the new buzzword, and we're reaching beyond just, hey, we'll give you some health insurance and a 401k. So what kind of results are we seeing? What can you tell us about, for the business owners out there listening to this program, about corporate wellness and how all that plays into employee satisfaction, retention, productivity?
Well, you know, it's fascinating because many companies, when the HR director proposes to the CFO, for example, that I think a wellness program would do well here, they look at the bottom line and say, you know, we can't afford it. We can't see the relationship between putting a program like that in here and how it's really going to help us. And they've used that as a justification for not incorporating wellness programs. And those of us who work in industrial psychology have all kinds of statistics with how many billions of dollars it costs companies each year because of mental health issues and physical health issues in terms of absenteeism, poor quality of work, you know, things of that nature, claims on insurance forms and things of, and all of that. And now we finally find in a recent article that just was published by the American Psychological Association a couple of weeks ago that there's actually some proof now that wellness programs impact the bottom line. And what they did was they found that they took hypothetical portfolios of stocks of publicly traded companies that have won awards for their wellness programs and compared them with companies that did not have wellness programs over a period of 14 years, David. And astoundingly, after the 14 years, they found that companies with the wellness programs outperformed the Standard & Poor's by more than 200%, whereas the other companies were just equal or a little bit above the Standard & Poor's. So now we know that these really do affect your bottom line. So not only is it financially and fiscally smart to have these programs, but it makes sense for the employees. And the kinds of programs, for example, that I do really show tremendous results in terms of job satisfaction, higher morale, people learning how to take charge of their health, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, I tell you what, that's all very interesting and certainly validating of these initiatives, Dr. Jack. The thing that struck me as you were describing that, because I started my career as a CPA working as an auditor, and first thing that jumped out there, or many things jumped out, but the thing that really is that's interesting is that you talk about the profitability and these companies, these publicly traded companies compared to their peers, the responsibility owed by management, not just to the employees, but to the shareholders of those companies. It's interesting to me. It's almost like shareholders should be saying, well, wait a minute, the shareholders of these companies, why aren't you doing these things? Because look, in other words, management owes the shareholders a solemn duty and responsibility to maximize profit for the short and long term for those shareholders. And in doing that, that almost obligates them to have this kind of wellness approach.
You know what? That's a fascinating point, David, and you're absolutely right. And if this information got out to shareholders, then maybe something like that would happen for all kinds of companies. So one of my goals is to educate companies about the real benefits of doing these programs. You know, the one I have, I call it, developing your mental wealth, because it's really all of the secrets that we know in psychology for making your life much more pleasant, much less stressful, and actually extending your life. There's a ton of research on the kinds of things I talk about on how you can extend your life using the techniques that I teach the people in my audiences.
Well, I don't think anybody would argue with that outcome. I think that's what we all would like and want to, make the most of our time here. We've got a lot to get to, Dr. Jack, so I'm going to take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk about stress and your assertion that it is almost completely controllable by us, because, of course, inherently stress has a lot to do with feeling not in control. If you're just joining us, Dr. Jack Singer is our guest, licensed psychologist, speaker, and author. Hey, let me give you a website for more information about Dr. Jack and his work, developthemindsetofachampion.com. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Brenda Campbell, General Manager at Volusia Memorial Funeral Home and Cemetery, a Digny Memorial provider. We are committed to service beyond expectation, before, during, and after the service. To that end, we offer a service guarantee. If there's anything we can do to meet your individual needs, please let us know and we'll take care of it immediately. This is another way we offer great level of professionalism in working with our families. We can be reached at 386-673-5373 or our website, VolusiaMemorialFunerals.com. Volusia Memorial Funeral Home in Port Orange and Ormond Beach. Life well celebrated.
The Rice and Rose Law Firm is celebrating 30 years of service in Volusia and Flagler counties. I'm Paul Rice, and I'm board certified in divorce and family law. I focus on representing divorcing spouses over the age of 50. For those previously divorced individuals who desire to marry again but want to avoid the expense and acrimony of another contested divorce, I specialize in drafting prenuptial and postnuptial agreements. You can contact me in our Daytona Beach office at 257-1222 or visit my website at ricerosenlaw.com.
Retirement planning doesn't have to be hard, complicated, or stressful. It also doesn't have to be done in a hurry or with sales pressure. Since starting Holland Financial in 1997, it has been David Holland's mission to help individuals, couples, and families plan their futures with personalized financial planning. David puts himself in his client's shoes and recommends products and services he would choose for himself or his family. If you'd like to learn more about Holland Financial or to schedule a one-on-one consultation with David, simply call 671-PLAN. That's 671-PLAN. No cost or obligation. Or visit PlanStronger.com.
Hey there, welcome back. Dr. Jack Singer on the line with us, ladies and gentlemen, licensed psychologist, speaker, and author. The website I gave you to before the break, developthemindsetofachampion.com for more information and a lot of great programs and information available on Dr. Jack's website. And I kind of teed it up there, Dr. Jack, before the break about this stress thing that everybody in their life at some point or another, and maybe too often, experiences. And one of the things I know you've asserted is that it is almost completely controllable by us. And of course, inherent in stress is we feel like we're not in control. So do tell.
Well, events that take place in our lives do not cause stress. You know, many people would say, well, you know, obviously the stock market tanks one day and that's caused me a lot of stress. No, what caused you a lot of stress is the interpretation you told yourself about the stock market crashing. If you said to yourself, for example, now I've lost most of the value in my portfolio, what am I going to do? That will cause the stress. But if you take the exact same event, David, and you say to yourself, well, the market has ups and downs all the time. I'm not selling anything. This is a paper loss. It'll come back. Now you don't have the stress. So you see, events themselves don't cause the stress, but it's all related to how we interpret the events in our lives. And the good news is we have choices about how we're going to interpret things. So the new kind of psychotherapy that's come around in the last 15 years or so, which is revolutionary, is teaching people how to understand the internal dialogue that interprets events in their lives and to recognize when they're going off on a tangent that will cause them stress, as opposed to the optional, the other kinds of alternative thoughts they can have that will reduce significantly or avoid that stress altogether.
So it's moving beyond just looking at it from the standpoint of the things we can, you know, the things we can control, then we're going to be able to deal with the things that we can't control. Well, if we can't control them, then why worry about them? I mean, you're saying we really need to kind of shift our thinking about this.
Absolutely. Yeah. And there's, you know, there are classical ways that people think in, quote, stressful ways. And once they understand that, once we can point it out to them, they change it. For example, I, you know, one of the wellness programs I do specifically for older people is called How to Live Much Longer Than Your Kids Hoped You Would. And so, and this is psychological techniques to really extend your life that have been proven to extend your life and to enhance your health. And what the main component of that is teaching people how to recognize the thought patterns that are typical that cause them stress. And when you get thought patterns that cause stress, the stress erodes at your immune system, which makes people get sicker, quicker, and longer. So it's all really connected. The mind and the body are intricately connected.
Yeah, and I saw that on you had the other book that you're referring, one of the ones you're referring to, Dynamic Health, Powerful Strategies for Healthy Living?
Yes. Yeah, okay, I was a co-author there with people like Bernie Siegel who have written
Wonderful.
About miracles and things like that just by thinking correctly and by hoping instead of giving up and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Now, I know you've got a book also for teachers, and then, of course, we also mentioned for advisors. I'm looking at your list of publications. Very, very, very well done, Doctor.
Thank you.
Yeah, I love it. Well, I have a lot of respect for authors because I wrote a couple books myself, and I'm like, wow, boy, I have a lot of respect for authors now. It's a major
right.
undertaking.
It's no simple task, and you don't make a fortune on writing books. You do it because it's a service.
Oh, well, I just had to get it out of my head.
Uh-huh. Yes.
It had to come out. Well, and I know that you mentioned this. I want to kind of, you know, kind of underline it or bold it because I think a lot of times it's almost like this vicious cycle with the stress and how it affects our bodies. You know, stress has a it's not just all in our head. I mean, there is that connection that you mentioned. It causes a release of hormones and it changes the way our body reacts to different environments. I mean, it messes with our sleep. It's just really a nasty thing.
Well, let me explain to your listeners why that happens, by the way, why it affects your sleep, why it affects your body. When we put ourselves under stress, it sets off an alarm system in our brain, which is called the fight or flight nervous system, which you, all of your listeners who have taken biology will remember. The fight or flight nervous system was originally built into us when we lived in caves to protect us from being devoured by, you know, saber-toothed tigers and dinosaurs and things. But in the 21st century now, what happens is when we worry about something, our subconscious mind doesn't know if this is life-threatening or not, but it's not going to take any chances, so it flips the switch and turns on the fight-or-flight nervous system, which makes us tighten up, preparing for some kind of battle. It makes us vigilant, so it's very hard to sleep if you're turned on the fight-or-flight nervous system. That would not be conducive to saving your life if your life was being threatened. So that's where insomnia comes from. And it impacts the immune system in a negative way because when the fight or flight is turned on, all of the other systems in the body shut down so all the energy can be produced to helping you survive this threat. And one of the things that turns down is the immune system for short periods of time, because usually you escape from the danger after a few minutes. Well, if people are turning the system on constantly during the day, they get stuck in traffic and they're irritated. There's lines at the bank. They have people calling them up and complaining. Whatever the case may be, it could be 30, 40 times a day that you're turning on this fight or flight nervous system for short periods of time. Then that means it's 30 or 40 times a day you're shutting off your immune system. This, in fact, is why people get ill and go from doctor to doctor, who, and the doctors prescribe medication, but no one can solve the problem of the illness. And that's because it's not an organic disorder you have. You have symptoms that are related to the stress that you're producing. Mm. In fact, the American Medical Association admits in a research that was done several years ago that the gatekeepers in medical offices, those are the internists or the family practice doctors, claim that 2 out of every 3 of their clients do not have a physical disease. They have real symptoms caused by some form of stress, and because they are so crammed with patients and don't have time, they can simply deal with the symptoms. They don't have time to get at the cause. If doctors could sit down and say, what's going on in your life, that would be a lot better for them than simply giving them drugs to deal with symptoms.
Amen to that. Good grief. I mean, that's you've summed up the medical profession in one sentence or two. That's spot on, Dr. Jack. And I think that, you know, then on top of that, you throw diet. So you got the mind, you got the diet. And, you know, I've had many a thought in my attempts at, you know, maintaining a good, healthy lifestyle and fitness. And I've, you know, shared with other people, you know, my thoughts, and I'm just a layperson, not a doctor, but, you know, if you got to drink water, you got to sleep, and then you need to eat right. And after those things, well, you know what? A lot of other stuff is going to take care of itself. So all this stuff is so interrelated. It's fascinating to me.
Yeah. And in fact, diet, the reason that people have such difficulty maintaining weight loss is because their eating is dependent on a lot of psychological things. For example, I know myself that if something good happens to me, I feel like rewarding myself by eating something sweet. And on the other hand, if something bad happens to me, I want to raise my mental health by eating something sweet. So it's so difficult to control your eating because it's so connected to your moods and emotions. People really have to be very disciplined about what they put into their bodies, because it will have all kinds of impacts on them.
Amen. Amen. I feel like I'm in church.
Yeah.
Good stuff, Dr. Jack. The website, developthemindsetofachampion.com, and that's where, of course, a lot of Dr. Jack's great information is. If you're just joining us, Dr. Jack Singer, licensed psychologist, speaker, and author. We'll grab a break. We'll come back and dig a little deeper and find out what's going on with all that stress. Stay right there.
Hi, I'm Teresa Rand with the Volusia Flagler YMCA. Our YMCA has 6 locations to help you reach your health and fitness goals. The Y is more than just a gym. With a focus on healthy living, it allows the Y to offer resources and guidance to help children, seniors, adults, and families maintain or improve their physical activity, health, and wellness. For more information, check out www.vfymca.org.
Done right, done on time, or it's free. Hi, this is Steve Tassinelli, and I'm a CPA with Holland Tax and Accounting Services. Our tax team holds the same values our clients have trusted for almost 20 years at Holland Financial. We have the expertise to help you manage your financial priorities year-round, not just during tax season. Whether you're an individual or a business, you can rely on Holland Tax for personalized service and attention to detail. Call 386-671-7526 to have your taxes done right, done on time, or it's free. That's 386-671-7526.
Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
And we're back with Dr. Jack Singer, and I want to go back to, looking at the stress. I know that in your book you mentioned the Financial Advisor's Ultimate Stress Mastery Guide. You mentioned 77 ways to master stress. And so, you know, we don't have time for all 77, doctor, but we can give them some maybe our listeners some of the more powerful methods, or at least a sampling of what you address in your books and, of course, in a lot of the other things that you're doing that is available over on the website, developthemindsetofachampion.com. So give us a little bit of insight into what where you're coming from with these methods and techniques.
Okay, absolutely. And by the way, David, you correctly stated that what's in my books really applies to everyone. Mm-hmm. You know, I wrote one for financial advisors with examples in there of actual financial advisor case studies, and I wrote one for teachers with the same thing. But all of these techniques apply to everybody.
Yes.
So let's look at two personality types that are mostly prone to stress. One of them is the type A personality that I'm sure most of your listeners have heard about. And these are people who are, you know, high functioning in terms of their work. They tend to be obsessed with their work. They tend to be perfectionists. They want to get things done properly and quickly. They tend to get agitated very easily when they don't have control over things. So I've listed in my book all of the critical personality characteristics of the type A personality. Now, we don't want to change someone's personality, and we're not capable of doing that anyway, but we can modify the behaviors. And so what are the things that I teach to type A personalities? I teach them how to get in touch with their anger and with their hostility, and because many times they don't even realize that they're behaving that way. I remember once a surgeon was referred to me, and I asked why he wanted me to help him, and he said, well, he hears from people like the people in the operating room that he's angry, and he said, but I don't feel like I'm angry. I don't know where they're coming from. I said, well, what kind of evidence do they give you? And he said, well, you know, if someone doesn't give me an instrument right when I ask for it, I'm liable to fling a scalpel in their direction. But doesn't everybody do that?
No, that's funny.
A lot of people have no conception that they're really angry people walking around. So I teach people how to deal with anger and how to reduce anger very quickly. That is a very big stress reducer. The other personality that tends to be more prone to stress is the person who's a people pleaser. Someone who will do anything so that people won't be angry or upset with them. They avoid confrontations to a fault because they wind up letting themselves get manipulated by everyone because they just want to be liked. And that personality, someone wrote a book about that personality called The Disease to Please. And that is also prone to stress. So with folks like that, I teach them how to do assertiveness. How to be more assertive, assertiveness training, stand up for yourself without offending other people. Don't allow people to manipulate you, because when you do that, it just builds up and builds up stress. And with the type A people, I teach them how to listen. There's a technique called active listening that most people do not employ. Most people don't really listen. When someone says something to them or asks them a question, especially if it's threatening in any way, the recipient is too busy defending themselves than really listening to what's going on. So, for example, in your career field, David, let's say that a client calls you up and the client is very upset because of what's happened to his or her portfolio in the last month because of market conditions or economic conditions. And they may call you in a very threatening way, like, you told me to do this and now look what's happening. Active listening means that you really listen to where the client is coming from before you respond, and you respond to them with not agreeing or disagreeing or defending yourself, but just understanding where they're coming from.
Yeah.
So a response might be, Mr. Jones, I can really hear what you're saying. You're very irritated and upset and probably frightened because of what you think is going to happen to your ability to retire at the time you planned it. And once you understand where someone's coming from, you're not necessarily agreeing with them, you're just understanding. That's called empathy. That takes the wind out of their sails, and then you can have a conversation. And this works in relationships with spouses and partners and with your children and so forth. We're too busy defending ourselves and responding back to people than really listening to what they have to say. Yeah. So once you train yourself to be a listener, that dramatically reduces the stress that takes place in interpersonal relationships. So those are two possibilities, and certainly, given the time you have, I can give you a lot more.
Well, I appreciate that, Doctor. The thing that is interesting you said about, you know, in terms of the listening is, and I've heard this also said, I was thinking this, is that people sometimes are listening not to understand, but listening to prepare a response.
Right.
In other words, to prepare a rebuttal like we see in the, the presidential debates. You know, they might be scribbling their notes. It's not that they're writing down what the person's saying. They're writing down what their response is going to be.
Exactly. If those, in those debates, if somebody used what I call active listening, that would serve them very well, but no one really trains them in that. They're too busy defending themselves and trying to find some weakness in the other person. But active listening, you know, really would go a long way toward helping these people to say, I understand that your perception is that I did this and that, and from that standpoint, you think I'm a liar. Well, let me explain why that perception doesn't have all of the information it needs. And that would be a much more clear way to deal with these things. But people don't normally do that. Can I share another main point that I make with people when I'm teaching them how to deal with stress?
That'd be great, Dr. Jack. We've got about a minute left, so it's perfect. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I teach people how to be optimistic instead of pessimistic. And maybe after the break we can go into details on that. But there's been a tremendous amount of research showing that when people can focus they're thinking in an optimistic way, and I'll have to define that later for you, rather than a pessimistic way, and they have optimistic expectations, they can do everything from eradicating diseases that they have within them to actually living longer. So it's a tremendous body of research that's been coming out in the last 10 years or so.
Well, isn't there a significant correlation? I mean, you spoke to this earlier, and I'm kind of really underlying what you said between how our bodies, it's not a one-way street, the mind to the body, but it's also body to mind. Just for example, getting up in the morning and smiling and focusing on smiling or smiling before going into a meeting, it creates a positive mood.
It absolutely does. In fact, I teach people to look in a mirror and force themselves to smile, memorize the muscles of the smiling so you can do that during the day because most people, they look forlorn. They don't smile.
Yeah.
In fact, myself, I'm not a natural smiler, so I have to train myself to smile when I'm in groups of people and so forth. And the best way to do that is to look into a mirror, smile. When you see a smile you like, memorize what those muscles feel like so you can continue to practice that during the day.
Excellent. Well, Dr. Jack, we're out of time. Dr. Jack Singer, ladies and gentlemen, licensed psychologist, speaker, and author. Get more information over at the website, developthemindsetofachampion.com. Great information about all of his books. And Dr. Jack, I appreciate your time, and we'll have to do it again soon.
I'd do it anytime. You're a fabulous interviewer, David. Thanks.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.